thanks for joining us on Murphy's Law Podcast with me today for our kind of our inaugural episode.
Fitting.
We would actually call it episode two.
Technically.
But so Chris, if everybody doesn't know, Chris is the original inventor, if you will, of the hashtag risk it for the brisket idea. And yeah, I thought he was a great person to have on for our inaugural episode here at the end of the year. So thanks for joining us. Just wanted to talk a little bit about what came around, what came through your mind, why you came up with a risk it for the brisket, and what it kind of meant to you. So thanks for being here. And really quick, we just need to say rest in peace, Betty White.
Cheers,
pour one out for our homie, but I don't want to get on the table.
She'd drink it herself.
Anyways, no, thanks for coming on, Chris. I appreciate it. Chris is my neighbor, in full disclosure, so he's been a friend for a while, been a great supporter, which we appreciate immensely.
Always.
But, you know, I thought it would be fun to talk about, you know, the risk it for the brisket thing and how it's kind of taken off a little bit and give you the credit where credit's due.
Well, and I think it's about time that actually does get addressed, because there's been so much misconception that it was a marketing campaign just for money, and it really had nothing to do with it. You know, the inside track was, and it's hard to believe that it was over a year ago, as you say, you're closing out 21. But I just vividly remember, you know, what led up to it. You were actually in here the night before the shutdown, getting ready to put up wrapping paper in all the windows to create almost a speakeasy environment, and Lauren and I were here to help you out. And next morning, woke up, and oh, shit, you done did it.
I did. I guess I never did tell you that afternoon that I called the health department, and at the time, I didn't tell you, I don't think. And I kind of just made the decision on a whim, because it was just, I started looking at where we were at, and I was like, you know what, we just can't do this. Putting the wrapping paper up, I had seen some other restaurants in the state that were doing something similar and trying to fly under the radar a little bit. Some other businesses were doing that as well. So that was the original intent, was we were just going to try and do this, but just, you know, I figured we were going to get caught either way. And if anything, we might as well be open about it. So I called the health department. But
that was an easy decision to make. I mean, it was really taking the stand to be the first one to go against what the orders were.
And it's always been interesting to see the folks that are so quick to say risk it for the brisket was intended to be risking getting sick or risking family members or risking anything like that. And that certainly just was never the case. You know, we were risking, you know, our livelihoods, our jobs.
Everything.
You know,
your restaurant, your business, your employees.
You've understood that from day one. And I've always appreciated that, you know, beyond being neighborly. But, you know, you understand the business environment a little bit. And the bills don't just stop just because,
no.
You know,
I mean, it's not like you're going to be able to tell your, landlord or any of your, anybody you have a financial debt to that, hey, I'm just not going to pay. Governor says, sorry, just, you can't do it. I mean,
the electric company doesn't like that so much.
No, and you have a responsibility to your employees.
The insurance company doesn't like it so much when you don't pay them.
Yeah, so
the tax man doesn't like it so much when you don't pay them.
Well, and it was risky for sure, and you know, and that's actually led to the night in the Pigloo, which subsequently that was before we moved it, when the city decided not to reissue permits for having it in the location. So we were out there one night in the Pigloo. There's probably 9 or 10 of us. Two under what was allowed at the time, I might say. Two under.
Outdoor dining rules, that's right.
That's right. Outdoor dining rules at the time. And it's just, we're trying to think of a clever catchphrase to sum up what was going on.
Was it before we moved it to the back parking lot?
Yep, it was when the split rail fence was out and the fire pit. Because I remember playing with the flamethrower.
Right. Yeah, there's some fun video of that. insert here.
That Pigloo was actually a great thing that, I know it was a pain in the ass, but... You know, my daughter wouldn't have had a normal birthday had not been for Pigloo.
Right.
You know, in a time where all these kids all year long are still getting screwed out of life experience. And that's, you know, what it really came down to. The risk it for the brisket was, you know, taking that leap of faith. Because it could have went either way. And I mean, we all know that, and that's a lot of people don't look at the fact that you could have lost everything. It could have easily went the other way and just be done.
We certainly weren't the only ones that were doing it. You know, one that always stands out in my mind is Wood Chips down in, I think, Lapeer, Wood Chips Barbecue. For a lot of reasons, I kind of can speculate, but barbecue places seem by and large more apt to buck the trend and kind of stay open. I think there's at least six. I am 100% for sure. Anybody that reads our reviews will know that 100. But
I think that's why we get along so much. I don't deny I'm an asshole as well.
It might be. But they were out of the gate first, and we kind of had seen what the Liquor Commission was doing to them, coming in and giving them fines and the $1,000 a day. So we sort of knew. They didn't. We sort of knew what was going to happen. So we sort of were fortunate in that regards. I think we were the fifth or seventh in the state to get shut down by the Liquor Commission. So we kind of caught in the stream at the right time with regards to that whole thing. But I always try to say that everybody's calculus is different. You know, there's a lot of restaurants. You know, people say, I wish more restaurants would have done what you did. And I just try to remind everybody that not everybody's business plan is the same.
Everybody's situation is different.
Everybody's situation is completely different, just like their personal financial situation is different. So it's not fair to say, you know, you guys stayed open and they didn't, they shouldn't, or they should have. But, you know, some folks have real estate on the line, huge assets or huge loans on the line. You know, we were fortunate where we, you know, in this instance, we don't own this location right here. We had a great landlord that gave us some forbearance during the first and second shutdown. He actually did, but it's unfortunate that people have taken it to the degree of where they think that it's okay, or the idea was implied that we want Chris to risk his health and his family's health and the health of the community.
Go ahead and risk your health by coming in for the brisket.
Yeah, and it's not that it's risking, you know, our business, our financial futures, our employees' jobs.
A fight for, not against.
My pay, my wife's pay. You know, we're not rich people by any means. You know, our house is on the line. We live right here in Gaylord. You know, obviously a couple doors down from you. But that's what I've always appreciated. And then when you came around with the risk it for the brisket idea and that whole thing and how it came about with the other stuff that we were joking about at the time.
Oh, God, there's so many.
And maybe someday we'll disclose exactly how that whole thing came about and the others.
Oh, that's a couple more episodes. There's other hashtags.
We don't want to scare anybody off just yet.
And we'll try to keep the profanity to a minimum. No guarantees, but we'll try.
The F word loses its effectiveness after you use it too much, but fuck it.
Amen.
Anyways, it's been interesting to see how this whole thing has taken off. I don't have an exact number on how many shirts we sold with the Risk It for Brisket tagline on it. And I can greatly appreciate that you would never ask for a royalty on that.
No, and that's something that far too often gets overlooked is, you know, everybody thought it was a capitalist play on your part, just all about the money. But what they don't understand is what the Iron Pig and Ian and Kerry Murphy have done for the community. You know, you're not the baby killers that people assume you are on Facebook and social media. You're not killing your neighbors. As a matter of fact, I think we counted yesterday somewhere around 750 some days with zero cases of COVID and zero contact tracing.
Yeah,
so well over 700 days. So, I mean, obviously, you're not putting the community at risk. We're all at risk every day. Because after all, look at this, we're a year later, and where are we any further than we were during the 15 days to curb the spread?
It's wildly entertaining to see the lengths that some people try to go to paint us in a certain corner. You know, a lot of times there's a tremendous amount of emotion that's wrapped around a lot of this, and rightfully so.
And anger.
Not denying that.
Just anger.
The anger is, you know, something that, you know, will be discussed at length for a long time, for years to come, especially wrapped around social media, and why people feel it's okay, and the permission slips that have been given out in the last year and a half to try and treat people a certain way. And folks don't like the way that we respond sometimes, and I'm okay with that.
But to be fair, you respond the way that everybody wishes they would in most cases.
You know, we talk about not cursing, and, you know, yes, I'm a bit of an a-hole, and I try to say most times it's usually deserved. You can disagree if you like my barbecue. That's fine. I'm okay with that. That's a personal thing. If you don't like our barbecue sauce or you think our ribs were burnt, that's fine. That's no big deal. But when you attack us personally, or you make a comment about one of our wait staff or tattooed guy in the kitchen, you know, it's kind of fair game. Despite the entirety of peer reviews being just kind of a disgusting thing, that again, we'll discuss, you know, other times. But it's very nice to know that there are so many more people in our corner than not.
And those people have come up from great distances. I mean, that's we talked yesterday. It's really been, you know, somewhat heartwarming to see the support you've gotten from, I can't help but think of that couple from Cincinnati, Ohio that drove, right, case
dude,
in
look
point.
At this.
That looks like a medieval weapon.
Just today, it does look like a medieval weapon. Customer came in and dropped this off today. I mean, this took some time and energy going in to put into this. I mean, it's incredible.
You way know, more, no offense, but way more time and energy than what I would have given you. But yeah, the outpouring of support from that, you know, Cincinnati, Ohio, just come up and tell you they support you and have dinner.
It's awesome. Let me tell you real quick, we're going to take a break. We're going to have a quick commercial for some Iron Pig merchandise. You know, we're talking about risk it for the brisket, so we'll see what happens. We're back. Murphy's Law Podcast, your host, Ian Murphy, my good friend, Chris Kuhn, the inventor, the brainchild of hashtag.
I'm really thinking about that royalty thing.
I just realized I am wearing a brisket for the brisket.
And you know, I was just thinking about the royalty thing.
I shouldn't have even mentioned it. We'll release an NFT revolved around the hashtag risk it for the brisket, and we'll get you in on that. So,
well, and you know, and Lauren and I are, you know, consider ourselves very fortunate to be part of this. And, you know, we do consider you and Carrie like family and your entire staff, because it's to see what this past 2 years has done to people's psyche and their mentality, and know that, you know, I know a lot of people in the industry that really struggle, but, you know, because you took the risk, your employees didn't. And that's something I think that's worth noting and pointing out, is there's a whole lot of people hating on, not just you, but Iron Pig, so far as to actually put your home address out on Facebook.
Yeah.
During a time that we were Friendsgiving, which is, the restaurant was not open. It was something that the second year that we'd done this, where just a group of friends got together with a closed restaurant, watched football, and had a good time, and were thankful for what we had.
Yeah.
Followed all social distancing guidelines at the time.
Yeah.
But in response, somebody put your home address out there, which... You know, it was horrible. And I think every time I see something like that, it just led to me trying to do more to support what you're going through and what you're doing. Because I truly think that was a time, and we're still in that time, where everybody should have been helping and relying on each other. And instead, we saw the ugliest of people. And we still see it.
Yeah.
I mean, you go to certain towns, and it's crazy. It varies by zip code. And again, I'm not an anti-masker. I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I just, you do you, I'll do me.
Yep. That's what we've always said.
You do your own thing. I mean, there's people downstairs right now in the restaurant wearing masks.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember back. It's been about 5 years. I cannot remember a time that I've tripped somebody outside and drug them in and forced them to eat Iron Pig barbecue.
No.
I'm struggling, but no, yeah.
Even the people that ask me if you have any vegan barbecue options.
Yeah. Yeah, you're well within your right to turn around and walk out as soon as you
nobody
read the menu
in.
And leave. And that's fine. That's okay. No big deal. It's just the idea that we're forcing people to come in, or that choice has just been taken away so quickly. Or actually, it's not really taken away. It's just been looked at in a certain way when this whole thing began, that restaurants were the sole,
not the box store,
the sole place that
restaurants and
COVID
bars
was being spread.
Yep.
And that's fundamentally what I disagreed with. The entirety of it was there are so many more places that are vulnerable for people than being in restaurants.
Well, and I know we've talked about this before, but have you been in a box store lately?
I mean, we were just there and there was a line. I mean, literally 30 people.
Back when they had cashiers, remember what that was like? Now everybody's funneled through the self-checkout cattle chutes, but you never heard any mention of it. But yeah, it was unfair that, you know, restaurants and bars got targeted. And for a while there, then it was, we'll let you open, but shut down at, what was it, 9 p.m.?
Yeah, the
curfews. Because people drink more after 9, and that leads to more close contact.
That's a whole other conversation. They fundamentally have changed the bar business.
They have.
Well, at least in the smaller communities, a lot of bars just aren't as open as they...
We're down to, essentially habits. 1 now, as far as, like, bar closing time, which that's way past my bedtime anyway, but... We joked about this last year. It's like the re-education is almost complete, and that's really what it turned into. But before we get far off subject, you know, there's a lot of things that you did that people either forgot about or didn't know about. Either way, it didn't give you enough credit. I mean, the fact that when this started, you turned the restaurant into a no-questions-asked drop-off pickup zone, not just for food, for toilet paper, anything anybody can need. No questions asked, come in, grab it, leave.
Toilet paper shortage was the one that prompted that. Yeah. We have access to cases of toilet paper, and it's like, why are we not offering
basic Sorry, Gary, things? Know where the supply cabinet is. But and the other thing was, you and Carrie dropped off food for free to anybody that felt that they were at risk, including, you know, we talked about this, you didn't know at the time, until actually just yesterday, my grandparents. You know, they were definitely, they're elderly and were worried about COVID. They were scared to death from what the television told them. And Carrie actually ran food out to them, had no idea it was my grandparents at the time. And that's actually, it's me choked up thinking about it. So my grandfather passed away last fall. And he had told my grandma that one thing he wanted to do was come up here in the restaurant, have dinner, and thank you for that meal.
Yeah.
It was kind of cool. It's even giving me chills again. After he passed away, my grandmother insisted on coming up here and sitting at the bar to eat dinner and fulfill something that he had wanted to do.
That was, I didn't know that story until yesterday. And that is kind of incredible. And part of what
you didn't kill my grandpa either.
For the record.
Yeah, it wasn't the barbecue.
For the record, Yana.
It wasn't the barbecue.
And he did risk it for the brisket. We have had some incredible support. The letters, the comments, the huge tips that
the charity towards the servers, yeah.
People buying T-shirts in New Zealand.
Really?
I don't think I've ever told you, but, you know, obviously we have a huge military following. Mm-hmm. We've always tried to support the military and veterans. I mean, so many people do. So it sounds foolish to say that, but what was happening is that we had a lot of people overseas on base that saw what was going on Facebook and wanted to support us. We had people that were buying gift cards and sending them to their friends up here. It was amazing.
Well, we've talked about this before as well. In my line of work, I'm all over the state, and there's really not a client I go to that hasn't heard of the Iron Pig because of the movement. Because it's even the people that didn't feel comfortable standing up and taking the stand for themselves respect and appreciate it, other than the Karens. I mean, there's always one of those Karens, and as we talked about at the end of the last segment, I mean, it's crazy how empowered they feel because there's a keyboard in front of them with no consequence.
Yeah.
Which is why they all troll. I mean, it's just... It is what it is, but...
There needs to be a new... They need to coin a new term. You know, it's not peer pressure. It's some kind of weird, you know, the use of the word protecting your community. That phrase has really kind of morphed into a way for somebody to virtue signal. You know, we talk about that a
virtue
lot. Signaling virtue.
I'm just going to say shitty behavior. I mean, just the worst of humanity. These are people that claim to be, you know, community-driven.
It's very strange, and a lot of people have asked, well, I don't know how you've dealt with it, and most of it, at first, it was
alcohol.
It was alcohol. A lot to do with it. I can say medical marijuana, but it's, you know, it's legal in Michigan, so you can just say marijuana anymore. Yep. But it is interesting to me to see exactly how people express themselves via the internet or argue against strangers or simply being so offended by a independent business owner in a small town in northern Michigan keeping their business open against newly created mandates. We are simply questioning the law. We're not questioning the science because you damn near can't do that.
You didn't make anybody come in.
And you can't argue it. Anybody that has followed any of our suits or our court dates knows that we don't dispute the science.
No, because it's all the state wanted to do.
The only thing we have ever, in fact, we didn't have to mention it. In one of our hearings, it was asked how many times contact tracing has been conducted towards the Iron Pig. And the health department is on the record saying none. Of course, now this was a while ago.
Right.
As the owner, I still know of no contact tracing here at the Iron Pig.
You know, it's actually surprising they haven't made up a case of that.
So it kind of comes around to this thing, like, we have proven you to be wrong.
But you know, the thing is, at least society as a whole is starting to change its view. And now it's starting to realize that the way those people behave and the comments they make is more of a reflection on themselves than it is who they're after and going against.
I'm encouraged to see, you know, speaking of the legal stuff that's happening, we'll talk about that more. It's interesting to see more people standing up and using their voice now without being afraid that weird peer pressure or whatever word we want to put on it. It's nice to see people standing up and saying, wait a minute, this isn't right, you know, whether it's a child mask mandate in the schools or whether it's a vaccine mandate. I'm not anti-mask. We're not anti-mask. We're not anti-vaccine here at the Pig. We're just, you know, pro-choice, which has a whole new meaning to everybody these days. But it really is just about whatever works for you, works for you. Well, I'm not going to try and impose anything on you.
Right, but there's a difference. These people, what works for you is fine as long as it matches with what works for me. If not, you're going to hell. And therein lies my problem.
So, you know, part of the other thing that we'll talk about coming up here in the next segment is going to be our legal battle that we have gone through. And even the brisket for the brisket got mentioned in court. So we're going to take a quick break. Here's a quick message from Greystone Brews and Q's, which if anybody doesn't know, is recently moved right next door to the Iron Pig. We've got coffee tables, pool tables. Obviously, we have coffee, darts, all that fun stuff.
You have coffee tables.
There are technically
couches, fireplace.
Yeah. So we'll be right back. To Murphy's Law.
Round
three. If anything can go wrong, it will.
It will. Look at the past 2 years.
I wish I had my mug. That's why I remembered so vividly when I was like 12, 13 years old. My aunt got me a mug.
Did you say baby killer?
Just said Murphy's Law. That's the new edition coming out next month.
Next month.
But it's Murphy's Law, and so of course I've always known what the hell Murphy's Law is, and that's kind of just the time that we live in. It seems like Betty White just passed away.
For God's sake!
What are we gonna do now?
Domino short of wheat and Nabisco.
Anyways, back to the reason why you're even here.
Yes.
So we briefly touched on last segment. We were talking about the appeal. Mm-hmm. We can't really say lawsuit. Lawsuit's an easy way to put it, but technically it's an appeal against the health department. We settled with the Liquor Commission. We settled with the Department of Agriculture. All those other folks. We purposefully kept the appeal going with the Health Department. That's the one that they're using that 1978 health code law, basically limiting the gathering of people. That's really what we're focusing in on, right? And so we're just saying that one branch of government is delegating authority to another branch without going through the proper channels, right?
Well, we talked yesterday about, you know, the three branches, and you look...
Where's the board? You got the board?
Yeah, there it is.
Grab David's board, because he's going to be on at some point in the next week or so before our case on January 10th. And he gave a great presentation a couple of weeks ago, and shame on me for not recording it. But he gave this great little presentation, and he used this handy dandy little board right here. And don't worry, I'm not going to do anything because I'm not smart enough. But this is hilarious. He comes in with this little whiteboard and he does his thing and he explains, you know, exactly what's going on and why the executive branch is taking powers from the other. And it's kind of fascinating. I don't pretend to be a lawyer, nor do I play one on TV. But I got to be honest, it's pretty basic stuff.
It is. And you don't have to really have a firm understanding to realize that when you look at this with the three branches of government, the people all over there are trying to cross through and cross over without following due process.
Yeah, they're basically swarming right here, and they're saying the legislative branch can't work fast enough.
And they're trying to pressure the judicial branch.
So that's you know, really risk it for the brisket. We're risking everything to take this fight to them.
Well, and here's the thing, too, and I know where you're heading with this, but I also want to point out that somewhere along the line, it got off the track a little bit, that people started thinking this was a political movement. It was never a political movement.
Oh, that's an easy out for them.
I just remember,
easy. Well, you know, well, look at this guy. You know, well, there's an election going on, and he's upset that somebody didn't lose, even though it's the guy didn't vote.
Well, and I remember yesterday we talked about the fact that I remember coming in on a Saturday, and there was you were actually walking down the back stairs from your office down towards the restaurant. I mean, it looked like somebody just ran over your cat. I mean, you just looked down, and I remember asking what was wrong, and you're like, I didn't fucking sign up for this. I don't. I've got politicians here. I've got political-based groups out front. I've got, that's not what I'm doing this for. I'm doing this for my family and for my restaurant and for my employees.
Yeah, it could have been a Republican governor. It could have been a Libertarian governor. Mm-hmm. It could have been, you know, a Klingon governor. If they had done the exact same thing and the manner in which they did it, first to Carl the Barber, and then once that got scuttled, they dust Dana Nessel and her minions are over there dusting off the 78 health code law, saying, well, let's see what we can go through.
Well, and first was the Emergency Powers Act. And that's the other reason that I've always, you know, followed this closely and had a big interest in, is that I've always, before my current profession, I actually went to college for criminal justice and, you know, studied the law. So due process and the reason we do things and the reasons that we do them a certain way has always been fundamental to me. I mean, that's what our country is based off of. And you couldn't be more blatant than to see what's going on right now and know that they're not following due process.
We knew that from the moment that, let me get this out of the way because I want a White Claw, but we knew that from the moment, like January or December 5th or whatever it was, when the Liquor Commission showed up and
that, oh, Peanut Gallery.
That after, Serpico.
Serpico.
Pardon me while I have a White Claw. Chris has got one, so I got to have one too. They passed an emergency order to come take our license. So usually these things happen when you get a violation. They found that we were in violation for the made-up mandate. They issued us a citation. Usually what happens is you then appear before an administrative law judge, and you get to say yay or nay, or you could just right away say, yes, I overserved, or yes, I one of my servers accidentally served a minor, nothing I can do about it, we're correcting,
yep,
blah,
bad,
blah,
bad, bad, here's my action plan.
This case, we got the citation, and then continued to stay open. They didn't like that. They wanted to make an example out of us.
Of course.
So that's why they issued the emergency restraining order, or it wasn't a restraining order, it was an emergency order to take our license. And then Serpico shows up and comes and takes our expired license. Yeah, I still have that video. And one of these days, we'll let it out there. Because he was kind of rude to some of our customers. But again, he was trying to set an example.
He was, but you know, it doesn't justify the whole thing.
But that's
behavior.
The due process that they, and there's the video body cam footage that the state submitted of that night, me having a conversation with the liquor control officer, and I say it right there, you're like, you're violating my due process. Like, we were already going through this channel to handle the violation, and you guys just make something up, and you come up from Lansing, and you say, hey, we don't like what you're doing. We're now going to take your license.
And then you burden local law enforcement with it, which they don't want to deal with the shit. They really don't.
No, you know what? And
they were great this whole time with you.
And
they really...
That's one thing
Frank,
that
stuff looks
I don't.
Like they've been great.
There's two videos, two body cam videos out there. They've both been submitted as evidence. I think only really one a lot of people have seen. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'm not combative with anybody other than Brad in that whole episode. But they didn't know what to do either.
No, they
They're
don't want
stuck
to deal
in
with
the
it.
Middle. Even when we went down to Dino's place and had the Freedom Rally out there, yeah. The state police were the ones that came down there, and they were amazing.
Again, Freedom Rally, which was not a political thing. It was, you put that on, I remember, actually it was, I think, here that we started having a conversation about that. It was just you wanting to do something for people to get out of their damn houses.
Yeah.
And that's what everybody said that night was, I'm so glad you did this, I was going stir crazy.
That was a fun night.
But because the name Freedom was attached with it, people assumed that it was a political base. It was not. It was a, let's get the hell out of our house and do what we've always done.
Yeah, it's interesting to see there's certain buzzwords that have suddenly become associated with one particular
yeah, if you say freedom,
party,
you're conservative. If yeah.
Tyranny. I feel like tyranny, you even mentioned the Constitution. People want to roll your eyes at you. It's like, oh, we're doing that thing again. It's like,
well, we live in such a messed up time where it's the virtue signaling has just gotten out of control. I mean, where rioters are called protesters.
Oh.
Protesters are called insurgents. And it's just absurd. I mean, it doesn't just stop there. I mean, we're living in some serious jacked up times. But you and I were talking on the break that, you know, obviously it's no secret what we're going through in our school districts here, which, for the record, thank God I don't have any kids still in school. I'm so thankful for that because these parents and these kids, I can't wear a mask. It triggers my anxiety. First and foremost, probably because I know they do nothing. I mean, yes, I follow the science. I read the science. I showed you the example yesterday of why they don't work. That's my opinion. Based on the facts, everybody's got their own. Well, these parents, the bullying by the health district and the school board demanding to know the names of the people, demanding.
Yeah, that was...
That's absurd. It's bullying.
The let them breathe case? Yeah.
How is that not bullying? Especially when you were talking, when there was another student that... Somebody, when I say they, assumed that this was a person whose parents were involved in this.
Right.
And they harassed the shit out of her.
Yeah.
And you wonder why the parents really don't want to let go who they were?
I was really disappointed when they... I understand this. They denied... we'll talk about... For those that don't know the Let Them Breathe case, it's a mass case. It's in Otsego County. Our attorney is handling it as well because it's a lot of the same arguments that we are making in our case. Basically, kind
process.
Of a non-delegation violation as well. Just giving authority, right? So it's interesting to see how what we have done is now influencing other things.
Correct.
We use Carl the Barber's case. There's a district court case in Missouri that was just decided about 2 weeks ago that also cites Carl the Barber's case. So there is this growing tide of people that are saying, wait a minute, these are unelected officials that are making some very serious decisions, whether it's a health department official, whether it's a superintendent that is making decisions based on an unelected health department official at a local level.
Appointed.
They're all appointees. Even you know the scientist that you know I don't even want to utter his name.
New.
But it just kind of is like that's people are starting to understand now, along with the moving goalposts.
Yeah.
So it's this whole thing has come completely full circle now. We've got a court case coming up in next week, January 10th. Our attorney, Dave Delaney, will be on the show between then and now at least once to kind of explain exactly where we're going, what we're doing. That'll be interesting because he has a great way of just boiling things down
he
so
does a great job.
Simply. But I don't want to hold up any more of your time. I appreciate you coming in today,
My
having
pleasure.
Some fun with us, sharing a couple of drinks.
And I'll be back for those other hashtag stories.
You'll definitely be back. I appreciate your support. Probably do have a prank coming
probably
after the changing of my lights outside of my house. But that's an
well
inside
played.
Joke, obviously. But I thank you, brother. I love you, man.
Love you
I
too,
appreciate
man.
You
Cheers.
Coming and having some good time with us today.
We'll catch you downstairs.
Thanks for joining us today. Keep an eye out for the next couple episodes coming out. We appreciate it. Thanks for hanging out in Murphy's Law Podcast. Thank you.